I watched the game last night, and if the Browns would have gotten in, it would have been nice. But the Browns did plenty of things to screw their own destiny up. Losing to Oakland is one of them. So there you go. Okay, it is 570 WKBN with Dan Rivers, and I'm looking forward to spending a couple of hours with you on the phone here this morning. It's nice to be with you. We are just back from our trip to Iowa that didn't make it. Now, if I had actually been able to, I would have spoken to Dave Leach while I was out there. And Dave Leach and I hooked up by phone the other day, and we said, well, let's get on. Let's talk a little bit about this. Dave has a completely different view on immigration than I, and it's good to have us hear the other side of it. Dave belongs to a church, and they are very pro-immigration. And say hi to Dave now. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Thanks for the chance.
Well, nice to have you along. Dave, if we'd been in Iowa, we would have talked about immigration, and I was reading your church's newsletter, and you folks think that, hey, these are what, disenfranchised people? You call them duns?
Disenfranchised, unloved neighbors.
Unloved neighbors.
I think that's a great blessing to the English language. See, we started off with the courts calling them undocumented immigrants. Well, that's eight syllables. You can't squeeze that in on talk radio. You couldn't say it twice between commercial breaks.
Well, you know what? I mean, just a little bit about myself. I've been talking about immigration for a while, and a couple of years. I've been to Washington a couple of times because I think it's an issue, et cetera. But I've got other people that are very much in your camp. And, in fact, there's one gentleman who's a staunch Catholic that writes to me a lot and says, you know, I'm only telling one side of the story. So I'm going to give you a shot. Go ahead and tell me your side of the story about immigration and how you feel that these people should be embraced.
Well, I think that my question for the world is, should we reject an immigration plan that solves every immigration problem without Big Brother, effectively and inexpensively, just because it is from the pages of God?
I didn't even understand the thing you said. Say that again now.
Should we reject an immigration plan that solves every immigration problem without Big Brother, effectively, inexpensively, just because we find clues for it in the Bible?
But when you say reject the immigration plan here, let me just bring it down to practical terms here. Are you saying that the people that come across the border and come into the United States should somehow be welcomed, as many as choose to come?
With the conditions which...
Well, go ahead. What are the conditions?
Okay, pardon me for quoting, referencing the Bible as my, where I come up with this, but the books of Ezra and Nehemiah in the Bible are about building a wall around Jerusalem. So I find in that biblical precedent for having a fence, a good secure fence, and criminal and terrorist watch lists, and so that the violent criminals don't get through. And also, I see...
So you have a precedent for building a fence.
Right.
From the Bible. So
yeah. Except
you know that you need to protect yourself, you need to protect your home, you need to have a lock on your door in this day and age. You understand that?
Yeah.
And okay. Got you. All right. With you so far. But so why not a lock on the United States door?
Oh, no. That's what I'm talking about. A fence at the border.
Mm-hmm. So you are for building a fence at the border.
Yes, except that with the rest of God's plan... you don't need such an expensive fence. You can have a much smaller one that can be built a whole lot more quickly.
Gotcha. Well, police details, we don't have all day.
All right. I see a repeal of numerical limitations is necessary. The precedent for that I see in Matthew 25, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, for I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And if we repealed numerical limitations, we'd have no more security problem. We wouldn't have an 11 million haystack for the bad guys to hide in here, and people wouldn't be crossing the border between checkpoints.
If you repealed numerical limits, so, I mean, on the amount of people that were allowed to legally immigrate here?
That's right.
Okay. So, if I'm understanding, I'm sure you're a taxpayer as I am. And we live out of step with the rest of the world. We are a very rich country. Now, you have probably seen your fellow Iowans' lifestyle change a little bit because you've lost some factories out in Iowa, too, due to the exports of jobs. The thing that I don't follow with is, if we allow everyone to come in here, don't we continue to dilute what we have here?
I don't know. I think you just asked two separate questions.
Well,
one about the factories.
If we allow anybody to come into this United States that we want, don't we take the wealth that we have and dilute it?
I don't see how. We're competing with the Chinese, for example, and the Mexicans without them being here. If they come here, if your concern is competition, well, we're paying them even more when they come here. And yet, if to the extent that they actually do work for less, we're able to keep our factories here. When we export a factory in order to get cheap labor elsewhere.
I'm kind of getting what you're saying. You're saying, go ahead and allow the people to come in here and work for, if they're willing to come into the United States, and let's just say that it's $6 to $10 an hour. If they're willing to come here, we should accept as much of that as possible.
Yeah, it's not the I'm out for taking advantage of them, but
bring the cheap labor into the United States.
Yeah, if they're willing to do it, if they're willing to give risk their lives to come here and do that for us, we can't, in the name of selfishness, turn them away. That's
gotcha.
Shooting ourselves in the foot.
All right, then what do you and I do if we're not willing to work for that $6 an hour, and they take the jobs that we currently, for example, in the nearby car factory here, there's 1,500 people working there, 1,500 to 2,000, sometimes it varies. I meant the Delphi plant, 1,000 to 2,000 people. And these folks are making a lot more than $6 an hour. So if you have all of these folks that are willing to come in and do it for $6 an hour, what do you do with those people now that are in Delphi?
Well, the people that...
That's a tough one, isn't it?
I lost my train of thought.
Let's say
orange pickers. That's a common example. If people come here and work for $2 an hour picking oranges, well, citizens might not be able to compete for. They'd have to drop their wages down to $2. However, the people that are the duns coming here have to buy services from citizens that charge higher. And every one of them that comes here and takes a job also creates a job,
You didn't answer the one question that I've asked you. The people that have these well-paying jobs now at almost $20 an hour or more, if people are willing to come and do those jobs for $6 an hour and as much labor as possible, what do the people do that were making $20?
Well, I guess I question whether someone making $20 an hour is going to lose his job to someone who comes here and can barely speak English and is just just trying to break in and do it for $6 an hour.
Well, there are some jobs. I'm not saying all of them, but in the car factory we have here at Lordstown, you're simply hanging a fender on an assembly line, and in a couple of months people pretty much have that down, and they can do that on a regular. They can do it very well. So. If you take your theory and say bring as many in as possible, and that General Motors can hire these people, maybe not for 20, but that they can hire them for 10, what do the people do that were making 10? And what does the community do that was formerly getting wages that were $20 an hour and they're now 6 to 10? I mean, how does that uplift our country?
See, we don't blame we don't thank our doctors and lawyers for driving up our wages by charging so high. I think it's wrong to accuse these people of driving down our wages by charging lower. The answer is, if a job can be done that simply, get a job that pays more and that's more complicated,
mm-hmm.
that they can't do.
Gotcha. So I think where you're going, Dave, with this is that we are one world. And if there are people that are in Haiti or in South America or in China that want to come to our country and bring their labor here, we should allow as much of it as possible.
We'd stop exporting our factories if we did that.
Okay, but if we did that, my question goes back to you. The people here, are you saying that we would evolve into some other? What would that job be that we would do that would keep us, being able to make our mortgage payments, et cetera? What would we do?
Well, it's hard to say, but if you look at...
Well, doesn't that worry you when you say it's hard to say?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to give an exact example because we're talking about future technology, and I don't know what future technology is going to be. But you know that looking at how many people...
How old are you?
62.
Future technology. The future technology is here for you now, isn't it? I mean, you don't have time to wait. I mean, don't you? You need a job that is going to keep you going for the next 20 years.
You
can't wait for future technology. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in this valley here that are in the same boat.
You look at how many people it takes to, for example, a computer upgrade, and or a new video game, and you see that it takes a large pool of people who are free, who are relatively nonviolent, who obey laws, and the bigger the brain pool you have, the more technology you have. If we were, for example, to drop down to a tenth of our world of our population today, mm-hmm. and have only a tenth of that brain pool, our technology would have to greatly simplify.
Yeah.
And as it grows, we're going to see the more people we let in to expand this brain pool.
Do you think people in the United States are willing to simplify their lifestyle and go back to a simpler lifestyle where they were conservative and didn't spend much money? I mean, I don't see that. I mean,
no, I don't. That's why I think we need to increase our brain pool.
You're suggesting that. Now, let me just throw a couple of numbers by you here. You know, it costs us around, and these are all documented, $2.5 billion a year for the Medicaid for illegal aliens. And we figure that there's 15 to 30 million people, illegals here now. If you would increase that number, where would that money come from? It costs us $12 billion a year spent on primary and secondary education for children here illegally that cannot speak a word of English. Why is it good for us to bring more of these people in here?
Well, there's two answers to that. One is to challenge the figures themselves. You must know there are other studies that reach opposite results. One of the earliest studies I really scrutinized was from the I can't say the name of it, a 2004 study made a conclusion like that. But when I looked at it more closely, it was counting as illegals, it was counting citizens that were the children of undocumented that were born here.
Mm-hmm.
They're counting them as illegals, and if you didn't count that, and also as for welfare, they're counting things like jails, schools, things that we don't normally call welfare. But if you don't count that, I reworked the numbers and it came out quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But the other answer is, with if we do God's plan and have criteria, which there's biblical precedent for, simple criteria like learning English, learning how our freedoms and prosperity work, among those criteria we can also have paying back services. And they would pay them back if in exchange for that they had a line to get into.
Gotcha. All right, you know, bottom line here, got to wrap it up, but the point you're making is that, do I read you correctly, that we should allow more people that choose to immigrate to the United States legally, we should allow them to do that?
Yes, numerical limitations is causing all of our problems.
Okay, and what would be, how is that causing the problem? I guess that's the point I want to get to.
Well, it's causing the security problem by having... 11 million people that have no line to get into, plus all that are continuing to come across the border.
All right, I'm going to give you a real-world example here. So you basically allow these people to come into the United States and all of the people here to have citizenship. I'm certain you'd have to have citizenship if they want to come here. So you allow them to come in here, and now these people that are now equal as you are and they really don't make enough money to have health insurance, they go down and they have their ills too. Well, you still have yours. They are going down and they are using the Medicaid system, the medical system here, but they don't have any money to pay. How do you solve that?
I'm a one of these conservatives that thinks that we shouldn't even have a Medicaid problem, so I'm probably not the one to ask about that.
So
I think that if you let these let people come in freely and take that burden of having to hide from police all the time, they'll be in a much better position to help each other.
But you haven't told me how you take care of people's medical needs.
You found an area that I haven't really seen Medicaid as being one of the alleged areas of huge expense and in the I've heard about the emergency hospital rooms.
Well, no, we have hundreds of hospitals that have closed in the Southwest because they don't have people that are willing to pay the money.
Well, like I say, give them credit for paying back those bills, and they will.
Yeah.
Give them a place in line in exchange for it.
Give me your information so we can read more, and we'll talk about when you're gone here, Dave. What's your information?
You mean my
contact? Do you guys have a website or anything like that?
Saltshaker.us. Click on immigration.
Okay, it's called what now?
Saltshaker.us.
Saltshaker.us. All right, we will review it, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about some of the points you made. I'm sorry I didn't hook up with you in Iowa, but Dave Leach, and you can find him at saltshaker.us, and your email address is BibleWizard, right?
BibleWizard@saltshaker.us.
All right, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
570 WKBN, back in a second.
570 WKBN.